repair one, you'll know that to be true. How many of you know we've been given some promises? We've been given some promises. The problem is sometimes we have a hard time stepping into the promises that God has given us. We allow the things of the world, we allow the things and situations of life to interfere and to literally, if you will, convince us that has passed. But I just felt like the Lord this morning is reminding some of us that there is still time to step into the promises of God. Amen. So I want to look at a familiar passage this morning. I don't know how many times I've preached on this particular passage, but maybe your first time here today, and so it'll all be brand new to you. And if you've already heard this 100 times, well, just pay attention, you'll get something anyway. Amen. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you that your word never fails. I thank you that your word is yes and amen. I thank you that your word will accomplish everything that you have set it out to accomplish. And Lord, I pray this morning, God, that as we look at the promises, as we look at men that have stepped into the promise, God, that you have set before us, I pray that we'll be encouraged. I pray, Lord, today that you will speak to us. And I pray, God, that you would see to it that these things would come to pass. And I thank you for it all. Lord, I definitely need your anointing this morning. I need your touch. Lord, I need unction from your Holy Spirit today to declare the truth of your word, that not one person leave today the same way, God, that we came in, but you will change us by the power of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. If I were to give this message a theme, I guess it would have to be that God calls for courage and encouragement, for us to have courage and encouragement when we face challenges and trials. Amen? Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. When you get there, if you just stand while we read the first 9 verses, Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, so forth and so on until you get to Joshua. It's not far off. Down the road and around the corner. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to a land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Lord, I need your anointing. I need your touch. I pray this preacher decrease, that you'd increase in me. Lord, that I would declare this word today with unction because of your Holy Spirit. And so, Father, I thank you for it and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen. And amen. You may be seated. What does it mean to be encouraged? What does the word encourage even mean? To lift up. It literally means to put heart into. To put heart into. General Andrew Jackson said, one man with courage makes a majority. One man with courage makes a majority. And I believe he's right. He is right. A little closer to our time frame, a great man by the name of John Wayne. Maybe some of you know that guy. John Wayne said that courage is being scared to death but saddling up anyway. Courage is being scared. It's not that there's not anything out there that we might find fearful or scary even, or any of those kinds of things, but in spite of it all, in spite of what it might look like, I'm saddling up anyway. I'm going to go forth into the battle. How many of you know that's really what God has called every one of us into, is to be courageous and to do something for His glory? And as God's people today face the challenges that God gives us, we would do well to learn from the encouragement found in these first 9 verses of chapter 1. Be strong and be very courageous. He said, I'm with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, God is with you. Amen? He said, I'll never leave you. God has commissioned Joshua to achieve 3 things in his life here. 3 things. Number one, he was going to lead the people into the land. How many of you know they already tried that once? How many of you know because they lacked courage and they lacked faith and they weren't hearing what God had already said? He had already given them the land. How many of you know I believe God has given us this land? It's ours to possess. And so we have to. He commissioned him to achieve 3 things. Number one, lead the people into the land. Number two, to defeat the enemy. How many of you know just because God has given you something, there isn't going to be some battles along the way? Lead the people into the land, defeat the enemy, and claim the inheritance. Claim the inheritance. God could have sent an angel. I don't know if you know this or not, but God could have sent an angel to do all the work. He could have sent an army, a host of angels to do what needed to be done. But like then, like now, God chose to use a man and to give that man the power that he needed to get that job done. And the Lord today, I believe, is looking for some men and women that will say, Lord, I'll do what you called me to do if you'll just empower me to do what you've asked me to do. And then to walk in that and do what he sent you to do. Every new season begins with a transition. Every new season begins with a transition. God does not stop working just because the situation changes. God does not stop working just because situations change. This passage starts out rather bluntly in verse 2. He said, listen, God is speaking, and he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. That's pretty final. He's dead. And I find it very interesting as I realize that the plan doesn't change just because Moses is dead. Is this working today? Just because Moses died didn't change the plan, but the reality is Joshua stepped into the very large shoes of Moses and began to fulfill and began to do what the promise was, what the plan was. He just continued to work it out. He just kept the process going. There was no delay. And if you take away from this message anything today, may it be this, that God calls ordinary people to step into extraordinary purpose. God will take your ordinary, put His extra with it, and you will become extraordinary, and you will begin to exceed and do some things that God has called you to do, and that you will say, man, I don't know how that even happened. Every time you see me in this pulpit, you can say, I don't know how that happened, because I don't know how that happened. I don't know how He would use somebody as messed up and flawed as I am. God calls ordinary people to step into extraordinary purposes. Joshua succeeded Moses as Israel's leader. And so really, what qualifications did Joshua have to fulfill that position? Well, number one, he was appointed by God. He was appointed by God. In fact, in Numbers chapter 27, he said this starting in verse 18. And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua the son of Nun with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him, and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him there in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him. Now, in your Bible, if you're reading in your Bible, the word some is probably like italicized. It's different font, different print. That's because they added that word in there to make it flow. But the reality is you don't have to put it in there. And you shall give of your authority to him. Give of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim. At his word they shall go out, at his word they shall come in, he and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands on him and inaugurated him just as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. So God appointed him. God put his blessing over his life. God set him up to be the successor of this great man of God. So he appointed him. Number two, he was only one of two living eyewitnesses to the Egyptian plagues and the exodus from Egypt. He was in that crowd. He saw the miracles. He knows what God can do. He knows what can happen if God's people will just get a hold of what God has. He saw it. Number three, he was Moses' personal aide for 40 years. He went everywhere Moses went. He did what Moses did. He saw the things. He saw how Moses reacted and all those kinds of things. And of the 12 scouts, number four, of the 12 scouts, only he and Caleb showed complete confidence that God would help conquer the land. See, it's because Joshua assisted Moses for many years, he was well prepared to take over the leadership of the nation. And if you're in a position of leadership, you need to be preparing someone to take your place. Hello? You need to be preparing somebody. If you're not in a position, if you're just the somebody, you need to be looking for something that God would have you do. Hello? Listen, I might not do everything. In fact, let me just change the way I just said that. Let me say, I do not do everything exactly right. I don't. But I do believe that God has a specific purpose and a specific plan for this congregation. I believe that when you raise somebody up under you, it should be just a smooth transition. If I'm gone for 6 months or a year, whoever is coming up behind me ought to be able to just take off and just keep the church going in the exact same direction. Hello? It doesn't always work that way, because I did that in Utah. When we left Utah, there was a person that was put in charge, and I said, listen, this just keep going and doing what we've been doing, because you know what? It's working. It's what God wants to do. But that person began to listen to other voices. And we had beautiful oak altars in the church. We had a beautiful oak pulpit in the church, and this other voice said, listen, you need to get rid of all that stuff. It's not for today. You need to do this and that and the other thing. And they began to listen to that, and it just began to just fall apart piece by piece. So it's important that we learn from who is our mentor. I've only left a church to one person, and I've only taken a church from one person. And that was Del Butcher in Coos Bay, Oregon. I was an interim pastor for 6 months. And because of my colorful past, I couldn't be a pastor according to the regulations of the Assemblies of God. And so I could never be the senior pastor, but I could be the interim pastor. And what Pastor Dell was all about was evangelism and discipleship and reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe, Mike, someday I'll be able to stand before the Lord and say, I followed that vision, whether it's here, whether it was in Coos Bay, whether it was in Utah, wherever it is, I've followed that vision, because there's nothing greater, no depth of theology or Bible learning. There's nothing greater, in my opinion, than seeing somebody come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Evangelistic outreach, I believe, is the greatest thing that there is, to see somebody born again. All the rest of it is just some information that will probably get put on a shelf somewhere, and whatever will come of it. I'm not saying that knowledge and understanding and information is bad. I'm not saying that. But if we're not leading people to Jesus, what are we doing? What are we doing? What is the difference? See, when you leave or when you're promoted, operations need to continue to run effectively and efficiently. If you want to be a leader, you need to learn from others so that you'll be prepared when that opportunity comes. And again, in Joshua chapter 1, 3 and through 5, it says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. We have to understand this morning that as God gives us promises, you've got to walk them out by faith. As God gives you a promise, you have to put faith to it and begin to walk it out. Remember that the land was already given to them, but they're the ones that had to possess the land. Oh, and then there's this. In verse 3, he says, I have given you. Don't just bypass that. Don't just skip over that, because it says, I have given you. Have means it's past tense. The truth is, some 40 years earlier, this had been given to them. And they refused to act by faith and walk into and step into the promise that God had given them. And it cost those their life that refused to go in. They all died in the wilderness, marching around the mountain. They died there. Be prepared when our opportunities come. Since Joshua had this threefold task to perform, God gave him three special promises, one for each task. God was going to enable Joshua to cross the river and to claim the land. That shouldn't be a shock. He enabled them 40 years before. Listen, this might be a shock to you, but God has enabled you to do what God has called you to do today. He has enabled you. He has empowered you. He has equipped you to do the work of the ministry. But the problem is, all these other things in life come in and distract us and get us sidetracked, and we go here and we go there, we do all these other things, and we forget that we have a purpose and a plan, and that God wants to empower us to do what He wants us to do. There's other things that can all be included in that, but don't miss the reality that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. He said, I have given you. And God was going to enable Joshua to cross the river and claim the land, to defeat the enemy, and then to apportion the land to every tribe as its inheritance. Those are the three things. God didn't give Joshua explanation. Listen, God did not explain how it was all going to work. He didn't lay it all out. He didn't have a three-point outline that says, here's what you're going to do. Because if that would have been the case, there'd have been problems right up front. Because when they crossed the river into the promised land, it was after they'd crossed into the enemy's territory that God began to make some demands on the people. And in the presence of their enemy, that's when God decided, all right, now it's time to get back into following after the precepts and the principles that I had set forth before you all these years ago. And so here's what I want you to do. Joshua, I want you to circumcise every fighting man in the army of Israel. Circumcise them. Are you kidding me? Why couldn't we do that on the other side of the river? He put them in striking distance of the enemy and then disabled them. Hello? Sorry. You ain't feeling like fighting right now. Why'd he do that? Because he wanted to show them that he was their protection. He would watch over them. He would keep them safe. He didn't give them any explanations as to how he was going to accomplish all this stuff, because God's people, you and I, we live on promises, not explanations. We live on promises, not on explanations. And when you and I begin to trust the promises of God and we begin to step out by faith, you and I can be sure that the Lord is going to give you the direction you need when you need them. Anybody ever driven by a GPS? They wait sometimes right up until that moment, turn here in 50 feet. I'm doing 70 miles an hour. Rerouting. God will lead us. And when we trust on His promises, and when we step out by faith, we know that the directions will be there when we need them. Listen, God promised Joshua that Israel would enter the land. That was a promise. He wasn't going to explain how it was all going to happen. He just said, this is the promise. Again, it could have happened 40 years earlier. But they got their eyes off of God and on the circumstance and talked themselves out of walking into and receiving the promises of God. Don't let the enemy do that to you. Don't let him do it. Over the centuries, God reaffirmed this promise. In fact, his first words to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 reaffirm is part of the promise. Let me just read to you what it says. And the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. And it goes on and on. It started in Genesis 12, and it continued. He reaffirms the promise all the way up to his last, the last words that he speaks to Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 34, and he says, then the Lord said to him, this is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over. God was going to take them over the Jordan and into enemy territory. And then he was going to enable them to claim for themselves the land in which he had promised them. Some of you are still waiting to claim your promised land. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe you're just waiting. Maybe you're just waiting. Maybe God is waiting on you to begin to take some steps. Well, Pastor, I don't know which way to go. Well, neither did Moses when God said, get out of your father's house. Get out of the land. Well, where do I go? You just go. Maybe that's a little scary for some of us, but it's an act of faith, and God will meet you at your faith. I'm preaching to me this morning. If you want some of it, help yourself. There is no repetition of fear and unbelief that had brought the nation into defeat at Kadesh Barnea. God gave them the land. It was their responsibility to step out by faith and claim it. And the lesson for God's people today is clear. God has given us all spiritual blessings. They're in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, but we must step out by faith and claim them. I've been hearing a lot of talk about what is it, the Oregon, the Powerball? Somebody won it? Two of them won it? Well, God bless them. Yeah. Here's the deal. Just because they won it, if they don't claim it, are you hearing what I'm saying? Just because somebody said they won it, if they don't go claim it, it does them no good. There are promises and spiritual blessings that have been provided for us, but if we don't get off the back of our lap and go get it, it's not going to do you and I any good. You got to take some steps. You got to act by faith. How about this? He has set before his church an open door that nobody can close. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. And we must walk through that door by faith and claim new territory for the Lord. Here's another one. It is impossible to stand still in Christian life and service, for when you stand still, you immediately start going backwards. Another way to look at that is if you stop growing, you start dying.
Hey, Pastor, you talked about empowerment. How about the fact that
That's what he said.
Yeah, and so what do you want for empowerment? It's right there.
Yeah. So why aren't we doing it? That's the bigger question. Let's go on is God's challenge in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. He's challenging the church. Let's go on. And it means moving ahead into new territory. The Lord told Abraham that other nations were inhabiting the promised land. And he repeats the same fact to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 17. He talked to Abraham in Genesis 15. If Israel obeyed the Lord, he promised to help them defeat the nations. It was a promise. But he goes on with that. He warns the people to don't compromise with the enemy, for Israel would win the war but lose the victory. Don't compromise with the enemy. But that's exactly what they did. It's exactly what they did. It's exactly what happened. And since the Jews began to worship the gods of the pagan neighbors and adopt their evil practices, God had to chasten Israel in their land to bring them back to himself. In the midst of their messing up, God didn't just cast them aside. I want you to hear this today. He dealt with them and he worked on them to bring them back to himself. You can read it in Judges chapter 1 and chapter 2. He didn't just say, well, I'm done with you. How many of you are pretty glad about that? He chastened Israel in their land to bring them back. What a promise that God gave to Joshua. What a promise. In chapter 1 and verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise. That's a promise. Best of all, I believe that God has given this same promise to you and I today. He said, I'll never leave. In fact, he put a deposit in you. We talked about it on Wednesday night. You've been branded. You've been marked. The Spirit of God lives inside of us. We are the tabernacle, the tent of dwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. He's marked you. Isn't it interesting that the Gospel of Matthew opens in chapter 1 and verse 23 saying, Emmanuel, which is God with us. And it closes in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. It closes with Jesus saying, lo, I am with you always. They're like bookends. God with us. And he says, as he's departing, I'm with you always. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 quotes Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, and he begins to apply it to the Christian today. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Somebody needs to hear this morning. He's not going to leave you. He won't forsake you. But before God could fulfill his promises, Joshua had to exercise faith and be strong and be of good courage. I don't know if any of you have ever not done much exercising and then decided I'm going to start exercising. Isn't that a reality check? I believe I'm just going to bust out about 50 push-ups this morning. And you get to 5 and you're going, I'm going to die. I tried that. I'll get there. I ain't there yet. We got to exercise this thing called faith. And if we do, it will grow in us. Divine sovereignty is not a substitute for human responsibility. I'll say it again. Some of you missed it. Divine sovereignty is not a substitute for human responsibility. I said earlier that God could have taken the land. He could have sent angels in. He could have done whatever and just took in the land. But no, he used man. Man has to step out by faith. God's sovereign word is an encouragement to you and I as his servants to believe God and to begin to obey his commands. One thing, it's one thing to say to a leader, be strong and very courageous, and quite something else to enable that one to do what you've called him to do. And that's what God does. He doesn't just call us and send us out. He calls us, sends us out, and equips us to do what he sent us out to do. So Joshua's strength and his courage come from meditating on God's word, by believing in the promises of God. Do you believe in God's promises? Are you obeying its precepts? It could be said again, it's one thing to meditate on the word. It's another thing to believe in the promises, but it's a whole nother level to obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. He's looking for some people to be obedient. You cannot fulfill God's call without God's word guiding you. You can't fulfill the call of God without God's word guiding you. Let me close with this great passage. I love this passage in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. If this doesn't encourage you, then I don't know how to encourage you. He says, "Have I not commanded you?" It's not a suggestion. It's not a good idea. It is a command. And God, through the Lord, speaks to the heart of young Joshua. Listen, I don't know if you understand the what's going on, but this young man Joshua is just become the leader of God's chosen people, the nation of Israel, and that's on him. And he knows the kind of man that he is following after. And if you let anybody let themselves get in their head? I do that. There's a lot of room to walk around in there. I can have a good time in my head. But we have to stay out of our head, and we have to stay in his presence. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Yes, it's a daunting task, Joshua, but listen, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to give you courage. I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to be dismayed, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Oh, and by the way, just to get the ball rolling, we're going to go into Jericho, and I've got this battle plan. And it's the coolest battle plan you have ever heard. Joshua's like, sweet! We're going to have cannons and tanks and aircraft, and I mean, it's going to be awesome. We are going to annihilate this place. Reminds me of a little boy. Went to Sunday school class by himself. Church bus come along, got him, took him to church. Mom and dad didn't want to have anything to do with church. So the school bus comes and church bus comes and gets him and takes this little boy to church, and he goes to Sunday school, and he comes to church and children's church. And when he comes home, he says, man, the dad says, how was church today? And the little boy said, it was amazing. It was fantastic. Well, what'd they teach you? What'd you learn? Oh, he said, we heard the story of a guy named Joshua that fought this battle. And he goes, really? He goes, yeah. He said, man, he said, they had tanks, they had artillery, they had you know, out in the Mediterranean Sea, they had battleships out there, and they were launching missiles into Jericho, and they flattened that place. And the dad said, "Is that what they taught you?" The little boy says, "Well, no, not really, but if I told you what they said, you wouldn't have believed that either." Yeah. For 6 days, just walk around the place. Don't say a word. But on that seventh day, wow. Wouldn't that build your faith? Wouldn't that say to you that God has things in control? God's commandments are still God's enablements for those that will obey Him by faith. Gabriel's words to Mary are as true today as when he spoke them to them in Nazareth in Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. For no thing with God, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. I'm trying to convince myself of that this morning. With God, nothing is impossible. There are things before me that seem impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I especially like this verse in the American Standard Version, 1907, if you just happen to have that Bible. This is what it says: "For no word from God shall be void of power." For no word from God shall be void of power. The very word that God speaks has within it the power of fulfillment. If we will just trust and obey that it's God's word, that God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. In the years to come, should the Lord tarry. Every time in the next number of years that Joshua faced an enemy, he was tempted to be afraid. He would remember that he was but a man on a divine mission, and his fears would vanish. Sometimes, church, we just got to remind ourselves of who I am. Who called me? Who anointed me? Who apportioned me? Who said I could do that? It's like the thief on the cross when he stood before St. Peter at the gates, and Peter said, What have you done to qualify you to come into heaven? He said, "Did you support missions? Did you evangelize your city? Did you do all these kinds of things?" He said, "I didn't do any of that." Well, then what qualifies you to come into this kingdom? He said, "The man on the middle cross said I could come." And that's all you need. That's all you need. The man on the middle cross. They are words of power. And Joshua reminded himself of who he was, and that he was a man with a commission, and his fears would vanish. And whenever things went wrong and he was tempted to be dismayed, he would recall the command of God: take courage. Be courageous. God's presence is the ultimate source of courage and peace. God's presence, come on, John, is the ultimate source of courage and peace. When God is with you, you don't have to be afraid. I just thought of a story that you told me one time about being on a bus. And there were people on the bus. You correct me if I'm wrong. And they were just spewing all this filth and foul language and just being obnoxious. And Mike had about enough. And so he stood up and he walked back and he said, "Listen, my wife's up here. I think your kids were with you. And I don't appreciate that kind of foul language and talk around my wife and around my kids and frankly anybody else around there. And this guy started getting smart and mouthy and blah, blah, blah. And Mike can stand up to a challenge on his own. And all of a sudden, as things begin to get heated between Mike and this other guy, all of a sudden the other guy, his whole countenance just changed. Am I right so far? And Mike's like, yep, talk this one down. Only to turn around and find that there was a guy standing right behind Mike that was about 9 feet tall. Just this mountain of a man. And when that guy saw that guy stand up and have Mike's back, it changed everything. We have got somebody standing behind us today, church. That there ain't enough devils in hell to stop. Be strong and of great courage. God's presence is our ultimate source of courage and peace. And like Moses before him and Samuel and David after him, Joshua had a divine mandate to serve the Lord God and to do His will. And that mandate was sufficient to carry him through. The same mandate has been given for you. Listen, let me close with this. It's not about your strength. It's not about your strength. It's all about His presence. It's all about His presence. And this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, people praying, today, the truth and the reality is that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What He did for Joshua and what He did for Abraham and what He did for Isaac and David and Noah and, you know, all those guys. What He did for the 12 disciples. What He did for Paul. What He did for all of those guys, I'm telling you today, He'll do it for you. You have to step out by faith and believe that God will do what God said He would do. And today maybe you're here and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You felt like you've been too bad. You never measure up. Your life is too bad. No, your life is not too bad. You just need it redeemed. You just need a good scrubbing. You need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Because see, the Bible says that it is with the mouth the confession is made, and with the heart that one believes unto salvation. And this morning, I want you to know that you've not been too bad. That you haven't screwed up too many times, and that God has forgotten you. He has not. He's brought you here today by His Holy Spirit. Because He wanted you to hear this word. I don't know who you are. Maybe you're watching this morning by way of the internet. But God ain't done with you. He has a purpose and a plan. And if you'll take a step of faith this morning and commit your life to Jesus Christ, you will never be the same. Your sin can be washed away. Your name will be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. The process of preparing a place for you has already begun. Whether you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior before, or maybe you did at one point and your life became a mess, you turned away from the Lord, but today you recognize that He's calling you back. All you got to do is say, "Here I am, Lord, if you'll have me, if you'll have me." So heads are bowed and eyes are closed, people are praying. Let me just ask this one more time. If you've never accepted Jesus, but today you want to, or you have and you need to rededicate and recommit your life to Him, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Anybody at all in this place today? Anybody at all? Say, "Preacher, that's me." Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. You can put it down. Somebody else today. Somebody else today. I need Jesus. I need the Lord. I need salvation in my life. Anybody at all? Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. You can put it down. Yes, sir, I see your hand. You can put it down. Somebody else. Maybe this morning you're watching by way of the internet and you're raising your hand. Obviously, we don't know that, but if you just type a message or whatever they do on there to let us know, we'll pray for you. And if you'll pray with us as we pray in just a few moments, I promise you, you can get just as saved wherever you're sitting right now as you can in this place. I believe that. It's not about your strength. I feel weak today. I feel beat up. It's not about your strength. It's about His presence. So if you raised your hand, I want you to just get up and come right now. The front of this church, I want to pray with you. Get up and come right now. Don't sit there. Don't wait. Don't let nobody talk you out of it. Just get up and come. Come on. Come on. Come on, man. Come on. Precious Lord. Right there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bless you, buddy. Proud of you. Proud of you, young lady. I know that took courage. Took courage to get up and come. God's been working on you all morning. You know that? Probably long before this morning. But this morning you responded. This morning you said, "Today's the day." Listen, do you believe that things are going to change?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. How'd you end up here this morning? Came by faith. Woo! That's a great answer. I came by faith. Well, your faith is working. Your faith is working. You're never going to be the same. I'm not saying all your problems are going to be over, but I will tell you this, you're never going to be the same, and you will have the ability and the equipping power of the Holy Spirit to carry you through all of these things. Amen. I'm telling you, it's going to be true. Your walk's going to change, Colin. Your walk's going to change. Things in your life are going to change and be different. You believe that? You believe that? Pray this prayer with me. Father, I thank you for giving me an opportunity to respond and to give you the mess of my life. Would you clean it up? Would you wash me in your blood? Would you write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Fill me with your Holy Spirit, and I will walk with you all the days of my life. Give me your presence. Give me your power to help me through everything I face. And I thank you for it all. I surrender to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, church. you need to get, they need to be baptized. You need to get, what's your name? Misty, you need to get baptized. Okay? It's just an act of obedience. You're saved right now if you're ever going to be. But something about following the Lord in the waters of baptism will change your life. Amen? Let these guys minister to you right now. Well, let me just pray and close the service. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for what you've done in these altars. I pray, God, you go with us now and bring us back together tonight. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.